So a guy by the name of Bill took his wife Lisa with him turkey hunting. And on Monday morning, he was talking to the guys at work about how he was never, never, ever going to do that again. It was the worst ever experience because Lisa did everything wrong. She talked too much, which scared away the turkeys, and she disturbed the undergrowth. She put the wrong gauge shot in her gun. And worst of all, she shot more turkeys than her husband. Another turkey story. I'm not sure this is true, but I did read it. The Pittsburgh Steelers were practicing, and onto the field waddles this big tom turkey. And the turkey goes up to the Steelers head coach, I think his name is Mike Tomlin, and demands to be given the opportunity to play tight end. And this is the Steelers. So they put the turkey in. And the turkey caught every pass and made a cut through the defensive line. And so when the turkey waddled back to the sidelines, the coach said, "Would you sign up for the season? I'll give you a big bonus." And the huge tom turkey said, "Forget the bonus. I just want to know if this season lasts past Thanksgiving." Well, a lot of us are going to enjoy some turkey and perhaps some football this week with friends and with family. And Thanksgiving is that season of the year. It's an ancient tradition. We read about it in the Bible that when the harvest comes through, we stop. We take some time to acknowledge God and to thank God for God's providence, which is God's protection and guidance for us. And it's a way of acknowledging that everything we have is a gift from God. The harvest, our life, everything is a gift. And so what a beautiful season of the year this is, and how important in our lives as people of the Word of God that we stop to say thank you to God. So our scripture this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, beginning at verse 25. These are the words of Jesus. "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear?' For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things. And indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Dear Jesus, as we open your word today, whisper your hope and your gratitude into our hearts. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Jesus says, do not worry. Say no to worry. And that is not an easy thing to do, is it? Because sometimes worry is like a snowball, and it gets going, and it collects some more things, and it goes faster, and it goes downhill from there. And I don't think it'd be helpful if the next time your spouse is fretting about something, if you open to Matthew 6 and say, Jesus says, do not worry, because your spouse, your family members, they need you to listen to what it is that they are saying to acknowledge their thoughts and their feelings and to help them navigate a way forward. But Jesus gives us some very helpful instructions here. He says, first of all, consider the birds of the air. The birds are beautiful, and we're right now in one of those migratory seasons when there's a whole lot of strangers passing through the peninsula of Florida with lots of colored feathers and stopping out in your backyard and my backyard, and we look at those beautiful birds and we realize God takes care of them. And Jesus says, you matter more to your Heavenly Father than those beautiful birds. And if he takes care of them, will he not so much more take care of you? Or Jesus looks at the wildflowers, the lilies that are growing in the fields there in the Sermon on the Mount, and he says, even Solomon, who really liked to dress well, didn't look as good as these flowers, and they're here today and gone tomorrow, and you matter so much more to God. God will take care of you. God's providence, God's guidance, God's protection, God's care, we remember that at Thanksgiving. And one of the most helpful lines, I think, in this comes from verse 32. Jesus says, your heavenly Father knows. Your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. And that might just be enough for you and for me, that our heavenly Father is a God who cares so much about us, whatever we're facing. And he loves us and he knows all about it. And so you can be like a small child on the lap of your heavenly Father, who throws the embrace of his eternal arms of love around you and will walk with you through anything. Now, we look at all of this because Jesus also promises that if we seek first the kingdom and God's righteousness, which is God's way of doing things, if we live our life aligned with how Jesus wants us to live, that all these things will be added to us as well. Everything we need will come to us. And yet, we look around our world, we look at circumstances even in our own lives, and there are times where we wonder where God is in the middle of things. We look at our neighbors in Paradise, California, and some of them just fled with the clothes on their back, and they lost everything, and some of them lost their lives, and we wonder how it can be true that our Heavenly Father protects us and guides us and leads us. But we look at the mayor of Paradise and the people that are in the process of rebuilding and the first responders and everybody that responds with kindness, and we see God's care in all of that. Because God's providence does not mean that we will live a life like a Hallmark movie where it might get messed up in the middle and things go not as they're supposed to, but by the time we get to the end of the movie, it's just better than it could have been and it's all wrapped up with a pretty bow on it. And those are great movies, but life isn't always like that, is it? And the promise that God has for us, your heavenly Father knows. So you are never alone in whatever it is you face, because your heavenly Father knows. So we'll look back at Thanksgivings from years ago, and probably the first Christian Thanksgiving celebrated on the continent of North America, it could have been those French Protestants at Fort Caroline here in Jacksonville. And that was in 1564 that they opened the Psalms and read Psalms of praise and prayed prayers of thanksgiving. And a year later, they were all murdered at the Matanzas River. So does God's providence and care depend on the outcome of our lives? No, because Jesus is the Alpha, the beginning, and the end, the Omega. Jesus is at our birth and our beginnings and the beginning of creation and our commitment and our baptism. And Jesus folds us up into his eternal love at the end of our earthly life and brings us to heaven. Jesus is the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, and he is with us through all the journey of life, whatever it is that we face. So I only knew one of my grandfathers. The other had died before I was born, and I got a late start in a relationship with any of my grandparents, because we were in the U.S. Army and we were overseas, and the Atlantic Ocean was a lot bigger in 1960 than it is today, because there was no internet, there was no FaceTime, there was no video conferencing. We didn't even make phone calls because they were too expensive. And the parents and the grandparents, they wrote back and forth to each other, and there were black and white snapshots, but I didn't read or write. So I met my grandparents when I was 3 years old. But we made up for lost time, because in those first few weeks back stateside, we stayed with the grandparents. And when my grandfather got home from work every day, I would follow him around. He would go out to his garden and weed and water, and he'd go into his workshop. And on the weekends, he liked to take a nap in his recliner. And he would let me sit on his lap and lie on top of him. And I remember putting my head on my grandfather's heart. And as he fell asleep, I could listen to his breathing and kind of go up and down and up and down as the air went in and out of his lungs. And I could, with my head on his chest, I could hear and feel his heart beating. And that was a wonderful place for a tiny child to be. And I wonder if that is not what it's like for you and for me to be children of our Heavenly Father, who knows what we need, who understands, who already knows where we are and what we need in this life. And is that not enough for us to be children of our Heavenly Father, safe in His embrace, no matter what we face? The Mayflower Pilgrims arrived in the Massachusetts Bay in the winter, in November of 1620, and it was a really hard winter. 45 of 102 of them died that first winter. They didn't have enough shelter. They didn't have enough food. They got sick. They were cold. 44% of them died, but the next year, after they had planted and harvested and been helped by their Native American neighbors, they held a big feast that went on for days. It was a Thanksgiving. They read psalms of praise, because that's who we are as people of faith. No matter what we've been through, we stop to recognize that it's God who provides everything we have and everything we are. And those first pilgrims in the Thanksgiving of 1621 had a sense that they were part of something bigger, that their desire to worship freely as they chose and their claim to govern themselves according to the compact that they had written and signed was some promise into the future that was bigger than they were. So my question for you is, where is your heart this Thanksgiving? Is it filled with gratitude for all that you have and all that you are? Or is it distracted by worries of various kinds? And you have an openness to your family and friends as you sit around the table and visit with them, to connect with them wherever they are in their journey of life, wherever they are in their journey of faith. Jesus has an invitation for us. Do not worry. Do not worry about tomorrow. Do not worry, but seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. Let us pray. Dear Jesus, help us as many times as we feel worry welling up in us to come running into your embrace, and to know that you are the one who holds us and holds the future. And help us, therefore, to put down our anxieties and to sing songs of thanksgiving and to be grateful for you and your provision and for life. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Will you stand as we sing our closing song?